Tonight we come to message 8, which is a wonderful message on feeding in the kingdom. And as we've emphasized in the messages, one aspect of Joseph's life as a type of Christ is that he is a shepherd. And we have enjoyed so much that our Lord Jesus is our shepherd. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we have a shepherd. And we are in the thoughts and plans of this wonderful shepherd. When we think mostly about a king or a ruler, our thought mostly is about power, about authority, about countries and nations. But actually, what we see in Genesis is that God sees that in the whole earth, there is a great need. And the great need is feeding. Oh, what do people need today? People need food. Actually, in order to feed people, there needs to be somebody who is a shepherd. There needs to be somebody who cares for them. So in God's heart, he considers, in the picture, at this date and at this time, there is on the earth, in the land of Egypt, there is going to be no food. No food. And not only in Egypt, but in the entire earth, there is going to be no food. And the word for this is there will be a famine. There will be a very severe famine. Today, in society, the world situation, we are experiencing some discomfort because we're not sure about the supply of gas, the supply of oil, the supply of wheat. People are anxious. They're reading the news. Well, how much do I need to pay for my electricity? How much will I have to pay for this? And maybe mom or dad told you this week, well, son, daughter, I really would like you to have this, but you know the situation right now. I'm not sure if we can afford this because there is, the prices are going up for this. Last week, maybe you heard mom or dad came home and said, do you know what happened? I went to buy this and it's now, they cost this. The price has increased. And all of us have this experience. Maybe we're young, we don't pay that much. Have you experienced this? Maybe you experienced this. You went to pay for something, but the price has gone up. Well, this is a picture exactly what will happen at the end of the age. At the end of the age, we think things are bad now. Things are going to get worse. Things will get more costly. The cost of oil will go higher. The food will become more scarce. There will be more anxiety. So what do they need? They need Joseph. They need Joseph to come. They need Joseph to come and give the food. But we don't know what time that will be. We don't know. When will the Lord come? When will the end of the age be? We don't know what time that will be. But in this picture, in Egypt, at that time, according to God's infinite wisdom, he knew on this date, there will be a famine on the entire inhabited earth. Who among all of the earth can have the wisdom, can have the training, can be one with me to care for all of the people? Who will have the discipline? Who will have the heart, not for themselves, but to store up all the grain, all the riches, so that when that day comes, it's determined. There's a day coming. Someone needs to have the supply. Someone needs to have the food. So when we read this story about Joseph and his brothers, we just think, oh, maybe it's a good story for children's meeting. You know, maybe you heard there's a musical, Joseph and his multicolored dream coat. Something, just a light story. But actually, oh, this is not just a story. This is two things, like we have mentioned. It reveals the type of Christ, and it reveals our experience of life. So, we know God needed to have a man. He needed to have someone who would be trained. He needed someone who would know. So, brothers and sisters, you are 12 years old, maybe. You are 13 years old. You are 14 years old. Who knows, brothers and sisters from the Ukraine, why the Lord has brought you where you are today at this time? Something is going to happen. In a few years' time, who knows what is happening? There is a famine today. There is a famine in our schools. There is a famine in society. People are hungry. Why are people behaving the way they are? It's because they are without food. So what is the Lord doing? He's looking in the Netherlands. He's looking in England. He's looking where? In Israel. Who can I find that would cooperate with me, that is willing to be trained? If I'm going to do this, I'm not going to go to somebody old. I'm not going to go to an old person. I'm not going to even go to Jacob. Even though he has all this experience in life, I'm going to find that somebody. Oh, in a very surprising situation, I'll find, you listen to this, the first teenager mentioned in the Bible is Joseph. It's not a small thing to be a teenager. It's not a small thing to be here today, because God uses the young people. You are not too young. The words we are speaking to you, we're worried on two sides this evening. We have two concerns. On one hand, we're concerned we would speak something too high for you, that you would say, oh, that's too much. The price is too great. On the other hand, we're worried that we would speak something too shallow. But we believe the Lord has brought you here at this time because you have the capacity to receive this word. The only way to receive the life supply is through suffering. The only way that Joseph was prepared, was that he was trained, was through suffering. What we're talking about, on one hand, we love the Lord Jesus, his shepherding, his love for us, his care for us. Tonight we're full of joy. But I have to tell you honestly, this way that we are sharing, this way that we are taking, it costs everything. It costs everything. And in this message, we'll see the price is paid in four stages. Four stages to receive four kinds of supply. Oh, Lord Jesus. Do you love the Lord Jesus? We need the Lord to attract us, that we would be willing to pay the price. If we do not see him, we cannot pay the price. But have you enjoyed the Lord this week? Brothers, have you enjoyed the Lord?
Yes.
If you've enjoyed the Lord, that's the Lord calling you to pay the price. Pay the price. So before we get into the details, I thought it would be good if we start to remember, how did Joseph get to be in this position where he was at that time? How did God place him there? Well, we didn't really get into the details in a previous message. So I'd like to go back to message 4, the reading sheet. And I'm going to go through this story in your languages. If you look for message 4, the secret of Joseph's release and exaltation, and look at the verses. At the end of chapter 40, it says this. It says that the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. Then, after he forgot about Joseph, now we get to this chapter. The Lord gave Pharaoh 2 dreams. Pharaoh, the leader of the whole world. You consider God arranged the whole situation. Who is he going to give the dream to that would affect this situation? The whole thing is so mysterious. I mean, if we backtrack a little bit, you remember, let's look at this from God's point of view. Let's not look at it from our point of view. From God's point of view, he realizes there's a need on the earth, and I need Mark. I need Mark. Okay, Chris, can you stand up? Sorry, Chris. Chris is Pharaoh. Okay, think about this. Here is Joseph. He's in this family over here in Canaan. But I need him. This is God. How am I going to get him from here to there? Okay, what way will I do this? Well, how would you do it? You and me, we would say, well, I'll educate him. I'll make him so intelligent. He'll become a leader, a great leader, and they'll go there, and they'll impress Pharaoh. And Pharaoh will say, oh, you're so smart, you're so clever. Or maybe he would become, I don't know, a military leader. But this is not God's way. God's way is to allow him to be what? Forgotten, despised, sold, betrayed, imprisoned, and then put in the right place at the right time. Then I'm going to give a dream, 2 dreams to Pharaoh. And it will be exactly the right place at the right time. You can sit down, Mark. And these are the dreams I'm going to give him. The first dream, oh, Pharaoh. You know, when we think of kings and queens, like in England, we have Queen Elizabeth. She is more of a figurehead. You know, I don't know how you translate that. But she's more of somebody who represents the country. But if she says, I want to do this, she can't really do this or that. No, she doesn't have that much power. But Pharaoh, he has all the power. You know, in their religion, in the Egyptian religion, Pharaoh is even like a god, right? He has so much power. So he has these dreams. And his dreams, he sees 7 cows. You know, 7 cows. Okay, can we have 7 of you stand up? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sister, you have to stand up. Oh, 7 cows. Oh, these cows. They look so good. I have never seen such good-looking cows. They were just outstanding. But over here, oh dear. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Oh dear. On this side, he saw skinny, ugly. And these cows, they came over and they ate up those cows. You gotta come over now. Okay, that's good. Okay, that's good enough. Okay, stop. You can. Okay, thank you. You can sit down. This was mysterious. What kind of dream was that? Have you ever woken up in the morning and you go like, what was that about? What was that about? And then he gets another dream. This time, I won't get you to stand up again. This time, 7 ears of of wheat, not ear, this kind of ear, of grain. There were ears. You know, on a, you know, we have on our bat, on our shirt, you have the wheat, there's ears, seven of them. And then he saw, these were full and they were fat ears. And then there were thin ones, and the thin ones ate up the fat ones. He woke up and he was troubled. Have you ever been troubled by a dream? Hey, troubled by a dream. Sometimes dreams can really trouble you. And so he calls all the people, his magicians, you know, maybe the god of this, the god of that, you can help me. Nobody can help him. And then suddenly the cupbearer, you know, I think it was God who made that cupbearer forget for 2 years. Suddenly he goes like this. On verse 9, he says, "Oh, I remember my sins today. You were angry with us. You were angry with me, and you were angry with the baker, and you threw me into prison. And I had a dream, and he had a dream. And my dream was I got released. And his dream, he was done away with." And so eventually, Pharaoh calls out Joseph, and Joseph comes. He has to come immediately. And then Joseph says to Pharaoh, he says, "The seven good cows are 7 years." Joseph knew the time. He knew what time it was. It's very interesting. Do you know what time it is? Can you read the time? He knew it was 7 years. And then he knew there was these over here, another 7 years. It's very important, young people, for us to learn the time. Today, I don't have any exams tomorrow. It's good news, right? But, you know, one time, I had an exam. I was in university, and I prepared so hard for this exam. I studied physics and computer science, and I had this exam in the morning. And so I study. And you know, I'm bad. I was a bad student. So I study through the night. I'm like, okay, what time is the exam? The exam's, okay, 2 p.m., no problem. So I'll study. Okay, get up in the morning. I'll go and take care of the exam. Okay, so then I wake up in the morning. What happened? I discovered the exam was at 10 o'clock. Oh. That feeling, I don't know if you've had that feeling. I have missed the opportunity. I missed it. I thought I had this much time, but I was wrong. We don't know how much time we have. As a young person, you think, I have so many years. We don't know. We don't know how much time we have. But Joseph knew. For him, it was clear immediately. 7 years. 7 years. You need to know where we are today, what time it is we are living. Joseph not only knew the time, he interpreted the dream. He told him what to do, how to react. What should you do? Now you know the time. What should you do? Some people, they may be able to say, look in the Bible. Oh, let me see. Israel. Yeah. Okay. Let me see. The Temple Mount. Oh, the time. Oh, I know the time. But they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. But Joseph knew what to do. He told Pharaoh exactly what to do. He says, Elohim has told Pharaoh. None of these other gods know, but I know God. It is God is telling you this. There will be 7 years of famine. Sorry, there will be 7 years of abundance and then there will be 7 years of famine. And the repeating of the dream twice means it is determined by God. It's about to happen. You know, this is not the first young people's conference we have had here on Joseph. Do you know how many times we've covered Joseph? We have covered Joseph 3 times. There have been young people in your chairs, in all of your chairs, who heard these words, but no longer meeting with us. They were just as given, just as loving, just as excited, just as happy as all of you. Oh, this is the third time the Lord is saying, is anyone listening in Europe? Is anyone listening? I'm looking for Josephs. He spoke to Pharaoh twice. It's going to happen. The Lord is speaking in this conference. I need Josephs. Are some willing to pay the price? Oh Lord, here we are. We give ourselves to you. We're willing, Lord. Make us Josephs for your sake. So he says, Pharaoh, you need somebody. You need somebody who is wise, and you need to set him over the whole land. And you need to do it like this. You need to appoint overseers in all the different areas and take 1/5. There's going to be 7 years, and you need to take 1/5. Every year, 1/5, take the supply, and put that supply, put it into cities. Oh, what wisdom from a young man, 30 years old. And then Pharaoh just says, wow, can we find anyone like this who has the spirit of Elohim? Oh, this God who reveals dreams. He is filled with him. All these years, it seems like he's in prison. It seems like he's just in school. It seems like she's just with her family in a little church life in Serbia or Italy or Germany or the Netherlands. But no, day by day, they're being filled with the Spirit. So when the time comes, can we find someone filled with the Spirit of Elohim? This is the time. Now's the time. So when all the people cry out for bread, Pharaoh says, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. There's one place to go. Brothers from Dartford, from Lewisham, tell me, what do, from Luton, from Nottingham, what do your friends need? They need food. They don't need what they think they need. People think, I need a girlfriend. I need this kind of relationship. I need money. I need entertainment. That's not what they need. They need the life supply. Do you know what they need? They need light. Who can give them that? Well, Joseph can. So eventually, Pharaoh, Mark, come here again. Oh, actually, maybe your brother. Benjamin. You go down. Mark, you go. Thank you. But, you know, they're twins, so about the same. Okay, so, can you take this off? Yeah. Thank you. You can translate live if I need. So eventually, Pharaoh brings Joseph. And he said, Joseph, I'm going to give you a ring, signet ring. So he puts the ring on. Oh. Now he has the authority. No. Don't clap. When you do that, you'll distract, you'll lose the spirit. When he has the ring, he has the authority. But he not only has the ring, he has a cloak. But the most significant thing here is he has a gold chain. He has a gold chain. Maybe you're wondering, can you turn around? What is this thing on the back of our t-shirt? Ever wondered? You may be wondering, is this a crown? What is this thing? This is a representation of a gold chain. Actually, the whole time Joseph was in prison, he was chained. He was under God's restriction. He was under God's limitation. That's why we have received grace, reign in life, inside the golden chain. Nobody could see it in your class, but you have a gold chain because you are under the rulership of the Spirit. Eventually, he had this, and it was manifested. Thank you. You can sit down. Thank you, Daniel. So now, we would think, oh, that's it. That's it. Here's the peak. No more suffering. That's it. I told you before, it was a suffering. And we know, we understand. Oh, that was a suffering. But now he has the power. He's got the ring. He's got the authority. He's in the chariot. But actually, he was still suffering. Still suffering. Through those 7 years, what did he do? He just did one thing. As soon as he was in that position, he did one thing. He just stored up grain. He just got to work. He was fully in the will of God. He was not for his own will. He did not, now I've got this authority, I'll do something for myself. He diligently just stored up grain. He stored up grain. What should we be doing every day? Brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters from the Ukraine, our heart is so much for you. We realize we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know. All we have is today. Brothers and sisters, dear 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, you think, oh, reading the Bible is just a small thing. No, every time you read the word, every time you go to the meetings, you're storing up grain. You're storing up grain. Because it's needed. Because the earth has a need. Yes. Oh, the Lord Jesus. He is the one who feeds the whole earth. He is the one in this picture. Everything is under his control. But he's looking for some. He is the unique shepherd. He's shepherding the whole earth. But he's looking for some who would join him in his shepherding. Where can I find some who will shepherd? Brothers and sisters, I have a word for you who are serving ones and who are helpers. Do you see these young brothers and sisters here? They need shepherds. They need some who would be willing to pay the price. So, this brings us to tonight's message, and we'll be finished in 30 minutes. When we realize Joseph had helped Pharaoh accumulate all this wealth of grain, and the people at that time were in desperate need, we may think, oh, what should we do? What should we do? Well, maybe Joseph should just give them the grain, right? I've got all this, and they need it. Do you need the supply? Oh, you're so needy. I'm so hungry. What's it like every day around 6 o'clock, that time in the evening? Maybe not in Spain. In Spain, 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock in the evening. And you're like, oh, I just feel hungry. I feel hungry. And you know what I've got over here? Paella. Oh, I got some paella here. And you are hungry. And I've got all the supply. What do you like to eat?
Chicken.
What kind of chicken? Fried chicken. Ooh, I got a lot of fried chicken here for John. And John is hungry. You would think, and I'm wealthy. You know, I've got a lot of chicken. You'd think I should just give it. Just give it to him. Just be generous. Oh, you have a need. I'm the chicken. I just give chicken to everybody. To you. But this is not how it works. This is a worldly concept. Generosity and scarcity. Scarcity, you don't have anything, so I'm going to give it to you for free. No. Tonight we'll see that God's way is to pay a price. If you want the life supply, you need to pay a price. And you may think, oh, Joseph, you're too mean. You're too mean. These people are hungry. You stored it all up. You should just give it to them. No. God's way is that we need to pay a price. So let's look at the outline. This is message 8. Okay, let's read point 1. Although Joseph was the ruler, he suffered until the day his father was brought to him. Because of his suffering, he had the riches. It is those who suffer who are able to give others the supply of life. If we would be able to supply food to others, we must undergo a long period of suffering. Joseph did not have all the grain until he was 37 years of age. At that time, he became rich. Well, how did he become rich? He didn't become rich in power. He became rich in food. Oh, brothers and sisters, we want to be rich in food. When your friend comes to you and tells you about a devastating situation that happened in their life, something happened to their parents. Something happened, somebody was mistreated, hurt, and they come to you and you just say, I want to help them. I want to help them, but I don't know what to say. I know God is the answer, but I just don't have the words. In fact, I myself, I'm not doing well. I barely believe in God. I'm barely making it. Oh. We want to have the life supply at the right time. Okay, B. Joseph had the supply of life, the supply of food. According to our natural concept, Joseph should simply given it away since he had the life supply and the people needed it. Now let's all read point C together. The life supply should not be sold cheaply. If anyone in the church life is willing to give away the life supply in a cheap way, we must question whether the supply he has is genuine. Brothers, one, if we want the food, we must pay the price. The greater the price we pay, the greater the supply we will receive. Sisters, the people who came to Joseph for food paid 4 kinds of prices: their money, their cattle, their land, and themselves. These 4 items cover all the prices we need to pay today. Hey, brothers, money signifies what we depend on. Money represents convenience. Some are not willing to pay the price for the supply because they are concerned about losing their conveniences. Brothers, the more conveniences we give up, the more life supply we will have. Today's Christians, however, keep their conveniences but have no supply. So first of all, the first price to be paid with Joseph, all the land of Egypt, they said, we want the supply. We're hungry. He said, well, you need to pay. You need to pay for it. They had to pay with money. And you may think, oh, money? Money signifies something that we depend on. But first of all, I would like to say one thing. Money signifies money. To come to this conference costs. Did it cost you? It may have cost you, or it may have cost somebody else. This year, to come to this conference, the flights, the prices of flights, they almost doubled. The conference costs, they increased. And sometimes as young people, we just have this kind of attitude. Oh, the saints should pay for me. Why can't the saints help me? Why isn't anybody else paying for me? I know when I was a young person, I had this feeling. Oh, somebody should pay for me. Well, I want to tell you a story about two sisters from Romania. There were two sisters from Romania who were teenagers, and they came to this conference, and they loved this conference. They loved it so much. And they went home, and their situation was that they have to take a bus to school every day. They had to take a bus, I think, and a tram, and they received pocket money from their parents. Well, actually, it wasn't pocket money. It was money for the tram to come. And so their parents didn't know this, but the journey to school, anyway, the money that they received was about £1. Okay, so maybe £2 there and back. They loved this conference so much, they didn't tell their parents, but they kept the money for themselves, and they walked all the way to school, an hour and a bit, sometimes completely in the snow. They walked all the way there and all the way back. They just kept the money. They knew that money, it wouldn't be able to afford a flight, but it would be enough. The others could help them. They paid a price to be here in this conference. They paid a price to get what? To get the supply, to get the life supply. I heard of other young people sometimes you think, oh, maybe in North America, they have a lot of supply ability. But I heard about some young people in one place, not so able to do something. But all these young people together, say we're all the young people in this locality, say we really want, guys, maybe in your young people's meeting, you come together, oh, it really would be good if one of us could go to Poland this year. So you know what we'll do? I'll get some of my clothes. You get some of your, what, things, those toys, you don't play with them anymore. You get some of your things, and we'll have a garage sale. And we'll sell it. We'll sell everything. And then, you know what, we'll pray together, and we'll send her. She'll go. And they did that. That's how some of the young people from America came here. They paid a price. Oh, what? How do you feel? How precious that experience of the Lord is to them. They may treasure that experience of paying a price more than the conference in years to come. Oh, how Joseph knew God in that prison. How Joseph knew God in that suffering under that limitation. God sees. He sees the price that we pay in a hidden way. We're not saying these situations to tell you need to do this or that, but we have to realize there's a price to pay. Maybe you only have a little bit. Just pay that. You know what it is to pay. So the first thing is money. We should give money to the Lord. We hear of a need here or there. We should give the money. Second thing that it signifies is convenience. Actually, it signifies convenience. I shouldn't say the second thing. Money signifies convenience. What does convenient mean? It means it's something that makes it easy and effortless. It's convenient. Like, you know what's convenient? In the old days, if I want to buy something from Daniel, I have to go and find my silver. I got to weigh my silver. I got to take it to him. He's got to weigh the silver. He's got to check the silver. That's not very convenient. Now, I just say, hey, can I just send you something on PayPal? Or I just like, hey, let me just, double click on iPhone and then just beep. Oh, money's so convenient. But when that happens, there's no money in my account. Oh, then things become very inconvenient. Very inconvenient. Brothers and sisters, to gain the supply, the first thing we need to pay is our convenience. It is not convenient to go to the meetings. Or sometimes it's really not convenient. Why is it not convenient? I'll tell you a few reasons. Number one, I really want to watch that game tonight. I really want to watch that movie. I really want to go and be with my friends to do that. But there's a meeting tonight. One time, sorry, Saints in Germany, England were playing Germany at football. It was a few years ago. Sorry to say this, we won. But listen, there's a point I'm saying that. Normally we lose, so that's I could say that, to balance it out. I could say a lot about this, but I won't. Me and another brother, we were at Bob Henry's house. Bob probably doesn't remember this. I was at... We're like, oh, shall we go to the meeting tonight? Shall we go to the meeting tonight? But England are playing Germany. And we want to watch this game. And we go to Bob's house. Oh, we enjoyed the Lord so much. Amen. But it was a price. It was a price to pay. We missed the game. Guess what happened? England won. But you know what? I didn't care. They could have won. They could have lost. It didn't matter. Because what mattered that night was I enjoyed the Lord. What's another thing? And this is a subtle one for you young people. Set this in your heart while you're young. Schoolwork. I see the young people come to university. Mostly I spend time with university students. And this is a lie of the enemy. Oh, you've got exams. Oh, you've got studies to do. I say, brother Peter, I can't come to the meeting. I can't join the 40-minute Zoom call tonight because... Oh, my studies. And that sounds so good. But as soon as Brother Peter goes, okay, I understand, brother. And you don't know he's praying for you. What happens in those 40 minutes? TikTok. Snapchat. YouTube. No studying. No studying. You said I'd study, and you meant to study, but instead time went by. And now it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You're like, oh, I do actually have an exam tomorrow, but we have to pay the price with our time. And when you pay the price to go to the meetings, the Lord blesses your studies. He blesses your studies. Your mind is clearer. You know the questions that are going to be on the test. Believe me. Convenience. It's not convenient, but we should go to the meetings. We should pay with our time. There's so much to say here, but we're limited. So let's go on to the next point. The second item the people paid for the food supply was their cattle. Cattle signifies the means of our living. So first the people came and they gave the money. Said, Joseph, this is all we've got. Here, I'll give you the supply. I'll give you the money, you give us the bread. Then they ran out of money. Then they're like, well, what have we got? Actually, they come to him and they say, you're not going to let us die here, are you? Can you give us the supply? You would think at this point, he said, well, they've spent everything. No, Joseph never sells cheaply. He says, give me the cattle. So now they have to give all the sheep, the horses, the donkeys, the cows. Now he's got their money. Now he's got their cows. Now he's got all of these things. So this signifies the means of our living. Now I was considering, how do you apply this to young people? If you are somebody who's older, you could say, the means of our living is my job. How do I live? Because I've got my job. So I'm trusting in that. Or it's my degree. I trust in that. Or it's the means, it's the way I live. But I would say with young people, maybe I'm wrong. I'm not sure if this is right. But I was considering the means of young people's living many times is their reputation. Sometimes we need to pay the price with our reputation. What do I mean by reputation? I mean how others consider us. How do others consider us? You know, we haven't spent much time to talk about the struggles that young people have today. But I would like to take a minute or two to talk about the social media and games, okay? You know, some young people have told us, I know I'm on this particular app. I'm not gonna, I am not against apps. I'm not against phones. I just want to tell you how it is. Young people have told us, I'm in this app. I'm in this social media program, and it's killing me. They know it. But I can't get out of it because all my friends are there. I can't let go of it because then what will other people think about me? This is our reputation. You know, sometimes we're in this game, we're involved in it, but the chat, oh, the chat, the things that are going on in the chat, the language, the things that are talked about, it just defiles you. Brothers and sisters, I hope we would realize the Lord, maybe He is talking to you. You need to pay the price to leave that game, to leave that social media program. It should be, Paul Lamb has left the chat. You have left the chat. Because where is he? He's in the kingdom of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, we should have left the chat. And people will say, oh, you're strange. You're weird. Oh, I don't know why, how others will consider you. But this is the price to pay to gain the food. Why aren't you on da-da-da-da-da? Why aren't you on this da-da-da-da? I'm not, you know. I don't want to say. Because I need to pay the price to buy the food. Okay, let's go on. C. After handing over their cattle, we need to hand over our land. Our land represents our resources. This is everything that we have and that we can do. D, I would like to spend some time on D together with you. Let's all read that together. The last item the Lord requires is ourselves, including every aspect of our being. The Lord Jesus will claim every part of you. Eventually, the people, they gave Joseph the money. They gave Joseph their cattle. They gave Joseph the land. He owns everything. What is there left? It's like, Joseph, you're so cruel. You robbed us. Joseph is a robber. But you have to realize, from our perspective, we just consider my land, my cattle, my money. But actually, from his perspective, I want to give you everything. I want to give you, so you don't worry. Why are you worried about money? Because I'm worried about the future. Because I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. I would like you to pay one more price. When you pay this last price, you don't have anything to worry about anymore. I will be your future. I will take care of every anxiety. But you have to pay this final price. This final price is to give yourselves fully to the Lord. It's to hand yourselves over to the Lord. You know, we have an offering box at the back and we put money in the offering box. But this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about putting us in the offering box. The Lord needs some who would hand themselves over to Him. That means every part of our being. Let's just take a few parts of our being. Our ears. You say, I belong to the Lord. But what about our ears? If our ears belong to the Lord, we would only listen to certain things. I can't listen to that music. I say to the brothers, brothers, what's going on? Oh, yeah, I'm good. What? Oh, brother, can you pass me one of your AirPods? Let me have a listen.
No.
Don't want you to listen to this. The things that we might be putting in our ears, the podcasts that we're listening to, the music that we're listening to, oh, the thoughts that are getting into us. You know, it should be that within you, somebody wants to give you this, hey, you got to listen to this tune, man. It's just, wow, what a tune. I can't. My ears don't belong to me. They belong to the Lord. I've handed my ears. You don't say it like that, but inwardly you say that. My ears belong to the Lord Jesus. What about our lips? 1 minute at the microphone. I'm reigning in life. I want to be a king. The next minute. Oh, did you see what he did to me? I'm going to get him. Do you see? Did you see how she looked at me? Our lips. She's always like that. He, speaking things which tear down the body of Christ. Our lips belong to the Lord Jesus. There are certain words, certain things that shouldn't be able to come out of these lips. And our eyes. Our eyes. Brothers. Brothers. We're concerned about your eyes. These eyes belong to the Lord. If we're willing to pay the price, we will get the highest supply. Lord Jesus, I give myself to you. I give my time to you. I give my future to you. I give myself to you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Okay, let's go on. Point three. Perhaps we have consecrated to ourselves to him, but we have never handed ourselves over to him. Today, Christ is claiming not only our money, cattle, and land, but also ourselves. Come here, Paul. This has a phrase in it. It says, can you stand on that side? It says this. It says, handing ourselves over. Handing ourselves over means this. Lord, I give my future to you. I'm just young, but I just give myself to you. But not yet. When I'm older, I give it to you. So we haven't let go. To hand over means you let go. We have to hand ourselves. What are you concerned about? Thank you. What are you concerned? Actually, stay here. What are you concerned about handing over your future to the Lord? What are you worried about? You're worried that if I give it to him, oh, bad things are going to happen to me. Well, let me ask you a question. If it's in my hand, will that stop bad things happening to me? No, serious. This is not a funny question. Will it stop bad things happening to you? If I give my family to the Lord, if I give my future, no, it won't stop. Bad things, suffering happens to everyone. Whose hand is it better in? It's better in the shepherd's hand. Amen. The shepherd knows. Amen. Now it's in the shepherd's hand. He will give me all the supply. Amen. Now I belong to him. Now he says, you have everything that you have is mine, and everything that I have is yours. Amen. This is to give the Lord the fragment. We give him a little bit. He gives us everything. Thank you, Paul. Did we read A? No. A, by making the last payment, the payment of themselves to Joseph, The people partook of the top portion. Brothers B, Sister C, when we pay the first, second, and third price, we enjoy the first, second, and third portion. Sisters, but when we pay the highest price, we enjoy the best portion. Altogether too. After the people gave everything to Joseph, they no longer cared for their money, cattle, themselves. They enjoyed only the rich supply. Brothers A, it is a great blessing to give up everything for the enjoyment of the rich supply of life. Sisters, today, regarding the spiritual supply, Christ has the riches. The amount of these riches that he is able to supply depends on what we are willing to pay. Altogether on point three. Eventually, the whole land of Egypt became a land of enjoyment. No longer were there distinctions between high and low, rich and poor. All the people became enjoyers on the same level because everyone and everything was under the same Lord. Amen. Eventually, the situation was like this. Eventually, the situation was, wait, who has all the silver? You don't have any silver? He doesn't have any silver? Wait, you don't have any cattle? You lost your horses? You lost your land? Who has all of it? Joseph has everything. Joseph's got everything and everyone. Everything and everyone. And you know what? You know where you had to go? Everyone had to go to the cities. They had to move out of where they were and go to the cities to get the supply. That means everybody had to move from their place to be in the same place. They had to move from where they were to be in the same place. Now, before, Daniel had, he was pretty wealthy before the famine. You know, maybe they talk like this. Yeah, before the famine, I had da 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 da. And then Peter says, yeah, but before the famine, you should have seen my horse. And John says, yeah, but man, I had a lot of cattle. Now, they're all the same. Brothers, you're just all the same. And there's only one Lord. There's one landlord. There's one banker. And there's one cattle owner. Actually, this is a type of the church life today. We are all on the same level. Brother Chris, stand up again. Brother Mark, stand up again. You may see Brother Chris, and you think, oh, Brother Chris, what a wonderful shepherd. So many years of experience, history in the Lord's recovery. Oh, but Mark's just the same level. In God's eyes, these brothers are on the same level. In the church life, there is no high and low. There are no this race or that race. Thank you, brothers. We're all on the same level and we're all enjoying the supply of Jesus. He wants to give everything. Oh, all his riches to everyone. But we're holding on to our money and our cattle and ourselves. Eventually, in the millennium, this will be the situation. It won't be socialism. It won't be communism. It won't be this ism, that ism. It will just be the reign of Jesus. And all the earth will come under that supply. Today, we can have this experience. Okay, let's have brothers A, sisters B, and we'll conclude. This is a picture of the millennium. In the millennium, there will be no capitalism or socialism. Everyone will be on the same level, because everything will be under the Lord's hand. Sisters, he will have brought everything, and he will have claimed everything and everyone. Truly, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Lord Jesus, we give ourselves to you. Okay, let's take a minute or 30 seconds where we are and just take some time. because this matter of giving ourselves to the Lord is something between us and the Lord. It's not something I do. Yes, we do need to speak at the microphone. But when you hand yourself over to the Lord, you don't do it for a show. Don't do it to impress the other brothers, to impress the speaking brothers. No, you do it between you and the Lord. Lord, you know my heart. So we're going to have a few seconds now. You tell the Lord, Lord, you know my heart. I love you and I give myself to you. And if the Lord touched you about any of these points, you tell the Lord right now. You sign, you hand over. You sign the check. You make the contract. The Lord sees it. So let's just take some time right now. Close your eyes. Ignore everybody else. Nobody else is here. Just you and the Lord. And you tell the Lord what you want to give him. Give him to gain the life supply, not for our sake, but for the sake of the whole world, for the sake of the body of Christ. This is why he needs us to give ourselves to him.